today we will be talking with Lake Pend'Oreille School District Dr. Becky Meyer and Community Relations Liaison Darren Svahn. Good morning, Dr. Meyer.
Oh, thank you, Susie. Happy to be here.
Also known as Becky.
And Darren, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's just start. This is a very special week. It is Educator Appreciation Week. So I just wanted to give a big shout out. If you've been here for a while or if you're new, you probably notice that our teachers really have a lot of compare and compassion and care for our students. Our mission in the school district, every student, every day, is really lived out. I think what makes this district different and so special is really the educators. So the teachers in the classroom, everything they do to prepare for the students, our instructional paras that help, everyone in our district that helps support students. Today's really just a celebration of what they do to help our students.
How are you going to celebrate that? Just a recognition, sing a song?
Oh, that's great. They probably don't want me to sing since I'm tone deaf. But
John Brunel
said, do not sing, Becky. I will tell you that PAFE, Panhandle Alliance for Education, it's a huge foundation and our biggest supporter in town. They tonight at McDuff's Brew Hall at 3:30 to 5:30, in case you walk by and want to thank educators if you happen to be in town, they are thanking all of our employees in the district. It's called the Dean Event, District Employee Appreciation Night. But they are going to celebrate. They give one drink ticket to the staff. They have food. So anyone's welcome to stop by and thank our educators for everything they do tonight, 3:30.
How many educators in the school district?
Well, if you count all of our employees, you know, we're 600, almost 600. We are the biggest employer in town. Mm-hmm. But if you look at just the teachers, we're probably around 250. That's just a rough estimate, about 250. And it's about split half elementary, half secondary.
And to add to Dr. Meyer was saying, each school has, you know, the strong relationship with their PTAs. And so you were saying, how are the teachers going to be celebrated? A lot of the schools are kind of relying on those parents to celebrate those teachers this week. So that's a great, you know, a great addition.
Mm-hmm. So I know, what else are we going to cover? So you're talking about Educator Appreciation Week.
Well, give us a wrap up on how the year's gone to date, because we're coming up, we have a little more over a month left of school,
yes,
or
I think
it's less?
22 days left, yeah, if you look at the actual
But who's
school.
Counting, right?
Yeah, who's counting? I just saw it into a staff bulletin is how I know, actually.
Catch us up, because the last time you were here, you were just about to launch the
Student Safety Summit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we did our annual, which is our second annual Student Safety Summit. We had that at Sandpoint High School. And if you remember, we talked about The Anxious Generation, the book by Jonathan Haidt. So we did that. We had great showing, but there were a lot of high school and middle school parents there. We decided, we probably didn't have enough elementary folks. Maybe they thought that it was more geared towards high school. So we did decide afterwards, like, let's really talk to and publicize it more with elementary parents so we can talk about how proactively you can look at these things with social media, cell phones, electronics, and how it is changing the rewiring of the brain is how Jonathan Haidt explained it. So last night, we did our first elementary, and there's about 38 folks that showed up. Really thankful to those parents. We also recorded it, which we are going to send out to elementary parents so they can also watch it if they missed it. That will come out this morning. Next week, I'm going to be at Southside Elementary and then Sagal Elementary, and then the following week to Hope Elementary. So it was just a way for us to take the content and what they're talking about in the book and gear it towards elementary folks proactively. How can those parents help make sure that their students, well, or their children, our students, how can we work together and create a partnership? And how can we make sure that they're helping their kids to have a play-based childhood versus a phone-based childhood? And really, we did share statistics and graphs about depression and loneliness and anxiety and things that we're seeing in the current teenagers and 20-year-olds. And so how can we think there's a lot of awareness that's happening across the country, And we want to be ahead of the curve here in Sandpoint so we can create those partnerships that really help students thrive.
So what is an age that's appropriate for a child to have a phone?
Well, that's obviously a parent decision, but in the book, if you look at it, they should not have a phone. You can get some phones that are only, I can't remember the name, do you? Go phones or something with a
for emergencies.
Do you remember the name of that?
I don't remember the name, but I wanted to, the whole program that you guys put on, it's been, the awareness was very helpful for me. I don't know if my son's going to thank me or not, but he has a summer to look forward to with no electronics and a lot of outdoor activities and sunshine. So thank you.
Yeah. In the book, he talks about really exposing students to the internet and the constant. I mean, not only is it the constant barrage, but critical, self-critical, they're comparing themselves to people that aren't necessarily even real online. So there's not only that piece, there's self-efficacy, comparison, boys and girls differently. We talked about gaming and students being locked into gaming and not getting outside. I, of course, am biased and talked about how where we live and what a beautiful area. And if we aren't getting our families outside to enjoy this, you talked about biking this morning to work. And if we aren't enjoying where we live, we are so blessed. And we just want, families to be able to put some boundaries up for their kids, which they literally want. Even if they say that they don't, they do want parents to set boundaries and force them to get out and get some activity. But one thing that was brought up by one of the teachers, Becca Palmer is from Clark Fork, Connor Baranski's from Sandpoint High School. They're the two teachers that presented and did this deep dive into the book. One thing that Becca said that really it got a lot of parents thinking, your creativity is stunted when you're on social media or the internet, or you're just getting intake of information and you're not having to have the productive struggle of going through some difficulties. Connor Baranski talked about, hey, kids need to be able, he specifically was talking about young boys, need to be go through without parent supervision and work through problems. Fight it out, not necessarily fighting it, but working problems out without parents intervening, and how that creates a lot more self-confidence and us be able to, as humans, as we get to adult, work through and have some tenacity, so resilience. So it was really incredible. I would encourage families, if you missed last night, you're welcome to join Southside the next week. I'll send it out to all the elementary folks and Sagal, and then Hope the following week. And then you can watch the video if you missed it. But I would highly suggest you read the book.
On the creativity angle there, is there any deeper look now at how AI is going to be affecting kids just generally, but education as well?
Wonderful you brought that up. Our board just passed an AI, artificial intelligence policy. We're going to have a green, yellow, and a red stage. We're going to be doing some training with the staff, and that's going to be happening in the August at the Welcome Back. We're going to have a tech academy be going through that. Teachers want to know, how can I teach students to use AI appropriately, but then put line, like this is an assignment that we cannot use AI. So, they're struggling with this across the entire nation right now. Mm-hmm. How do we use it to best support and make things more efficient and help us, but not miss out on the creativity and where we need to be able to have our own brain cells thinking of things? So that's definitely, we're diving into that as a school district.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add that, all the resources that Dr. Meyer is talking about, they're all posted on our website, Lake Pendere School District. All of the presentations that the educators and experts made at the first safety summit, they're all there and available for families to review.
And when you're talking about communicating with families, how do you get this information out? What is your inbox with families?
Okay, well, we have School Messenger. That is the texts or emails they get from me. Often during the winter, they like to see ones where it says schools, snow day. We're having a snow day today, but that didn't happen this last winter, which is wonderful. So they get it
They didn't think it was wonderful.
Well, no, I know, but families might like it now because on Friday, May 23rd, there is a flex day because we didn't use too many snow days this winter. That is actually a non-student day on the 23rd, yeah. And the staff gets off that day as well because we had built in an extra day just in case. But we have a website, lposd.org, that Darren talked about. We have the communication that we send out directly through School Messenger. We also have through The Loop, which is our monthly communication that we put together that Darren sends out to all families. And then we've been doing a lot of writing. Well, I should say Darren has been doing a lot of writing to add to the Bonner County Daily Bee. So you'll see in a lot of articles and a lot of press in there as well.
Okay, that answers that question.
There's no lack of interfacing with the school district right. for parents, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And The Loop comes out like right around the
end of the month.
It's a true joy to put that together and, inform the families about all the positive things that we have going on. So I really enjoy that experience at the end of the month.
And it's just the folks know it's a long read. Keep scrolling down.
Yeah, it's long.
Because there's a lot of stuff in it.
There's a lot of stuff.
I will say that one thing that's pretty unique Darren started this year is he's taking his own pictures. So the top of The Loop, we just used to have a picture that, looks at Schweitzer and the beautiful bay and the Long Bridge. But he started going around the community and the area and taking pictures. So each month, it's pretty unique, I think. It's just a different area of art that he takes a picture. So check that out in The Loop when you get it.
It's my goal every month, something new. So I have a hike planned in the next week or two. And so we'll get something from the top of a mountain somewhere.
Your creative outlet.
Yes, absolutely.
No AI involved.
Nope, yeah. No AI involved. Well, Darren, would you like to talk about, start us off on the CTEC, which is Career Technical Education Center of North Idaho?
Absolutely. So we've been talking a little bit about our groundbreaking and, Dr. Meyer was instrumental in getting the grant that is going to be helping or paying for the majority of this building. So, yes, we have everything planned. It's 9:15 on June 9th at Sandpoint High School. And so feel free to come and enjoy and celebrate this moment with us for the community. So it's a $3.5 million that we received from the state. And, of course, we're putting in some local money. How much was that we're...
We have the initial grant. We had put $680,000. And so those are some funds of different parts of the project that the state grant would not cover. And there's some... I won't go into particulars because that's not going to matter to people. But and then we did have... And people who've seen me present on this already know this. But if you haven't heard... The costs are going up for construction, which I know if you've been building anything, you will know this. So our costs from initial submission and our quotes went up $1.4 million past what we had anticipated. Now, the good news is, as this community knows, is that we are fiscally conservative and we did build up a contingency fund with that ESSER dollars when the COVID happened and our business managers and the superintendents, Tom Albertson, and built up intentionally so that the permanent levy could extend out as long as possible for our taxpayers so that we wouldn't have to go back out to the taxpayers. That is still true. And our taxpayers, if you've lived in any other communities where you have to go out every 2 years, it's just really a blessing again to be in this community. And we thank the patrons for all of that support way back when. So we did dip into the contingency fund, and the board did approve. We went for an additional $500,000 from the contingency fund. And we did cut back, though. We are not going to have asphalt around the back. It's going to be gravel. And we are not doing some polished concrete. We're going to have just regular concrete. We cut out a classroom and then cut back a little bit on one room about 6 feet in. So we did make a few changes to reduce the cost while still keeping the what we wanted for students and the options and availability for that.
So what's the square footage of the new building?
About 11,000 square foot. It's a little bit more than that, between 11 and 12,000 by the end of it.
And there probably are areas for different types of technical education inside.
Yes. The programs we have that we are going to start with is we have a brand new program which is sports medicine and rehabilitation therapy. We've hired that person. She's the current athletic trainer, and she's going to expand that program and options for kids. That's a new one. We have health occupations. So we have the, when they graduate from that, they're certified CNA. And as I've told on this program before, my two oldest daughters did that, and both went to 4-year and one to a 5-year art nursing school and our RNs based on starting in that program. We have our informational technology computer science program that's being expanded, our residential carpentry program that's being expanded, and then we have the shell of an automotive small mechanics, possibly marine mechanics program. We have the shell of that, but we don't, that's one thing that the grant committee cut out of our grant, so we don't have the equipment yet. So we're going to be working on partnerships and with the industry and our community to try to get that eventually going. And then another piece is we're going to start the culinary arts program and try to work that into a, you know, preparing chefs and people in for our community. And that's another project we're going to be starting too.
Yeah. So I've had quite a privilege. Dr. Meyer asked that we participate with the Idaho School Board Associations. They asked for a magazine article about what we're doing up here with our CTE programs. So it gave me an opportunity to really do a deep dive into what the high schools were doing and then also get out in the community and find out what's going on there. But I think what I discovered in the theme of the article is going to be is that Lake Pend'Oreille School District is truly a leader in the state in being able to keep kids in Idaho and particularly keep kids in North Idaho. I think Governor Little and Superintendent Critchfield, they openly have stated over and over that they, you know, this, all the funding that they're putting forth into these programs is about keeping kids local and meeting the work, you know, workforce demands. And I'm discovering that we really do an excellent job at that. I'm meeting with a lot of graduates who are in our community. They're everywhere, really. They're running small businesses. They're working, you know, at software companies. So they have a lot of good feedback. And then also talking to the kids at the high school, and I'm finding out there's a lot of them that truly want to stay here, you know, for this lifestyle. And they're just looking for an opportunity or a way to stay here with a job. And so we're really meeting that need. I think it's really, truly emblematic for me when I walked into the welding shop. They have a wall of fame. It's long, and there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of photos of kids holding up giant fish that they've caught. And so that kind of demonstrates how much they love this area and want to stay. So thank you to all the CET teachers who are doing such a great job.
Mm-hmm. And so, CET stands for Career Education, Technical Education,
yep, CTE, yep.
Education. And it's vital. Mm-hmm. It's a vital component that doesn't necessarily get the big kudos all the time.
So the new facility, are these actually new programs that are starting?
Yes, some of them are new, and some of them are shifting from in small cramped spaces in Sandpoint High School that are shifting out. So there's a mixture of both.
And kids sign up, will they be signing up now for classes to be taken there next year?
And just to reiterate, this is of North Idaho, so the grant was written so that homeschool students, Christian school students, private school, Waldorf, we were just talking about this morning, Bonner's Ferry from Boundary County, West Bonner, those students are going to be able to apply. Construction is going to start after school is out, going through, and it'll take about a year. We were hoping to be ready in January, but it looks like it probably will be open for fall of 2026.
Okay, so it's still a year out then.
We have a lot to talk about, and as career technical education is an important component, and what else is going on?
All right. Well, we have a lot going on in the school district. I just want to reiterate real quickly, though, the groundbreaking, anyone in the community is involved. That is going to be Monday, June 9th at 9:15 a.m. on the south end of Sandpoint High School. So that's where the Highway 2 goes to Dover. It's on that side. It'll be outside. It'll be a groundbreaking ceremony, 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
parking on the south side, then there'll be signs there that kind of direct people to where to go. And if nothing else brings you out, we will have Dr. Meyer in a hard hat for the first time. So feel free to come and enjoy that experience.
Surely it's not your first hard hat.
Well, I don't know if it'll go over my clip. I can't take my hair down. So there you go. I think a couple of kudos we'd like to really point out. There's something with Acadeca that I'm going to let Darren talk about. But first, I just want to tell you another positive. At Southside Elementary, they were the first elementary school about 5 years ago. They were the very first elementary school in the state of Idaho to be designated as an official STEM accredited school. Accreditation is a huge process. I mean, they have to go through lots and lots and lots of hoops, and you have to prove a lot of things to be accredited. Well, they were the first one in the state. So now there's 12 schools, K through 12, that are accredited, but it's a very big honor. This Friday, there's a recognition ceremony in the morning at Southside Elementary, and lots of patrons will be there, but we encourage anyone to stop by if you live in that area just to recognize Southside Elementary. And it's just a really big honor, and thank all the staff for their work out there.
Why is STEM important?
Well, I just wanted to add to what Dr. Meyer had said. It's the celebration starts at 8:30, and yes, the community is invited. There'll be some representatives from the State Board of Education will be there, the STEM Action Center from Boise, and then a lot of the Southside partners that they work with in STEM. They'll also be there. So it'll be a great time to learn a little bit about all the programs that they have going on and the partnerships that they're developing with their community there.
Yeah. STEM. S-T-E-M.
Science, technology, engineering, and math. And they have a great robotics program out there, the Makerspace. Lynette Leonard is the librarian and the teacher of this. She's done a lot of work in the STEM area. Principal Jenny Smith and her staff, they've just done a marvelous job. They're really putting hands-on for kids to allow them. They're not on screens the whole time. They have a lot of hands-on. They came and did a board presentation with their little iBot robots on the ground, and they can code them, have them move in different spots. So their brains are really creative, really getting into the STEM. And those are lots of fields for the future. So I feel like we're doing a great job preparing our students for the future.
So we were going to talk about our academic decathlon team from Sandpoint High School. It's really stunning what they were able to do. They headed over to Iowa, and they competed against, I think I read, maybe 49 different states. Wow. Somewhere around 700 students were involved. And I know before they left, they were, I think the highest they achieved before was third place, and they were really, you know, aspiring to get back to that place again. And they actually finished runner-up, so they were second place, and there's 10 members on that team, and we really want to celebrate all that hard work that they did for the past year. Now they're preparing for next year. I asked them about that, and they already have the material, and they're just charging forward. They have, you know, a lot of committed kids and a wonderful coach, and so looking forward to great things from them.
Yeah, Becky Haig, she's a science teacher also, but she's the Acadeca. Her daughter, Sophia, is on it, and which I think helped inspire her to be a coach. She didn't know anything it was about. When I was the principal at Sandpoint High School, we started Acadeca. Mary Bird started it. If you don't know what Acadeca is, it is absolutely amazing to know the amount of information that those students are able to retain and then process and regurgitate and compete about information. It's just incredible. I judged for years their interviews. They have to do interviews and speeches, as well as a quiz bowl, and they have to learn all this information about whatever the topic is. They presented to the Kiwanis a couple weeks ago, and one thing I want you to know, when they went to nationals, and Darren was saying they were going to try to get third, they got second. Well, Becky shared, they were only within 500 points of first place. The third place was 2,000 points behind. So they were closer to first place than they were to the third. They did a phenomenal job. I mean, just major kudos for us at Sandpoint, Idaho, to be at that level nationally. It's just a really testament to the education, K through 12. Again, back to Education Week. Our teachers from kindergarten on up, I just can't tell you. I mean, I've been in other districts, so I'm not being biased. I can't tell you the individual attention that these teachers give to students, and that's the way I think we're able to have all these accolades when they get up to the senior high school and all of the options and the AP scores and our ISAT scores and our graduation rate and all the great stuff we have. We celebrate in graduations coming up. All of that we celebrate really is a testament to starting here in our pre-K, but then kindergarten on up of what teachers do with students and the individual attention. They don't let anyone fall between the cracks.
A lot of support. Mm-hmm. Teachers create being creative. Just a little story, anecdotal story. KRFY has a CP at 3, which is a Cedar Post radio show that's put on by students in the high school. And a few years ago, Will Clark was the head of it. And I may have told this story before, but when he came to the station to interview, he sat down and he said, "I'm an academic and I love to talk. That's why I want this job." So, yeah, he took it on for 2 years and did an astounding job. And he's at Northwestern in Chicago now. So to the academic program, it got him launched a little bit on another level.
It's funny when you're on radio, you don't see people. He had the best hair ever. Curly, big hair. I loved his, yeah.
I think he still does.
Yeah.
Probably does, yeah. So, what else do you have cooking that you want to bring up?
All right. Well, we have graduations, as I mentioned, coming up. That's our culmination celebration of all the graduates. So, we'll start out and
June 4th, Clark Fork starts us off. And they're going to be at 7 p.m., of course, at their school. So put that on your calendar.
Out on the track, and everyone's welcome.
Yes, absolutely. Then we go to June 5th and our Lake Ponderay High School. And they're going to be 6 p.m. And I believe it's at the Sandpoint
Event Center. Okay. Yep, upstairs. Yep.
Third floor, I think. Okay. And then we wrap it up with June 6th, Sandpoint High School. And that's going to be 6:30. And, of course, at War Memorial Field.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rain or shine, people, rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
I remember when I was the principal there and we had one that, ooh, man, the rain was pouring. Those poor girls were in, we had at that point, we had white. They had white after that year. It was like the rain was just not good for that. So we changed the next year and they're all red now. Every single one of them's red.
Yeah, the white kind of could be a little showy when they get wet, huh? Yeah.
How many students are graduating? Well, you have three schools, so.
Yeah, we have three schools. Well, hopefully around the 250 that are at Sandpoint High School, hopefully they all graduate. That is always our hope. But
what I think is amazing is the counseling program at the high school has so much support for the student to find their footsteps going out of the high school, because that's a moment in time that can be daunting for a student, and there's a lot of support, not just with in the school, but with their parents too.
Right. The post-secondary counseling at Clark Fork LPO and at Sandpoint High School is really amazing. I don't know if you remember years back, they started a four-year SLP student learning plan, and parents collaboratively do that with their students and the school counselor so that they have a plan starting in, you know, they do it in eighth grade and they say, what am I going to do in ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th? And then post-secondary, what do I do? So we're really adding to that by this year having our very first middle level SLCs, student-led conferences. So we added to that ability for students to be thinking about the future, Susie, and what they're doing after graduation based on what do they aspire to when they're young and each year looking at that. So we added the middle level at the Sandpoint Middle School and at Clark Fork this year, and we're going to be doing some training and eventually move that up to the high school level as well. And so that will be a K through 12 eventually program.
Tell a little bit more what a student-led conference is.
Well, folks who have kids in our district know, starting out in kindergarten, they put together evidence of their learning, evidence of their growth, things they want to show their parents. Starting in kindergarten, they put together, start the portfolio in the beginning of the year, and then they get to the second Friday in March, and that's our student-led conference day throughout the entire district. Parents go, and then just like the name says, students lead the conference. It's not a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah, this takes a place. This is kind of... Yeah.
And it's not about the grades, which there's a point for that, that you want, teachers want to be able to tell parents, you know, how have your students performed? What are their grades? Where they could get better? But this is really a celebration of what were your goals? Students do goal setting in the beginning of the year. What were your goals? Have you met your goals? Where did you achieve them or exceed them? And where are your areas that you as a student feel like you want to get better? Where's your growth areas? And they have exemplars of maybe work they've done. They take their parents on a tour of the school. They show them highlights of things. Darren's heard me say this a lot. It's my favorite day of the year. I absolutely, and both of my daughters, my oldest two daughters, went through this starting at Washington Elementary. It is a chance for students to really take ownership and responsibility for their own learning and really connect with their parents. Often, if there's the parents get busy, students have a lot of activities. This is a great time. I've had a lot of feedback from parents like, wow, I didn't know that my student could do this or done that. And it gives this individual time that is built into the schedule. And the teacher's not directing anything. They're there if they have questions, but the student is, and they practice. The teachers practice with the students. Okay, and they have a checklist, go through this, this, and this. And like I said, this year at the Bull Pups at Sandpoint Middle School did a wonderful job of goal setting and having students walk their parents through. They've named them there. Jeff Penrose is the principal, parent, teacher, student. So they have PTS, but they're really student-led conferences there. And Clark Fork added it this year. Next year we'll be doing training for LPOHS and Sandpoint High School, and so that the next year we'll roll it out there.
Excellent program. I just want the listeners to know that this is 88.5 KRFY, your community radio station, and we're here for the morning show. Chris Bessler, my co-host, and myself with Lake Ponderay School District Superintendent Dr. Becky Meyer and community relations liaison Darren Svahn. Thanks for being here. And there's a lot more to talk about. Anything on your agenda to talk about, or should I ask a question?
No, I had a couple, but I just wanted to say that the student-led conferences, that was my first time to experience that, and it was very, very interesting and fun. What caught my attention was the students who would bring their parents to their math problems and challenge their parents to solve the problems using the way the teacher has instructed them. And so there was some struggles there, and I think kids were really,
struggles feeling, by the parents.
Struggles by the parents. And the kids, it seemed like a lot of pride there that they were able to solve these problems and show their parents how they did.
Yeah, pull one over on the old
Very
parents.
Cool. Yeah. And how did you do, Darren?
I didn't even try that. I'm more in the English realm than the math realm, for sure.
Well, it's funny, though, because as older parents here, we can all attest, and I'm sure some other parents can as well, they keep changing the way you do math. I'm like, wait, what happened to long division? What's this spiraling thing? And then there's a side thing, like you put these numbers and line them up, and there's like a line, curly Q line. I'm like, what is this? So I'm like, hey, this is the old fashioned way, but you just put it with a long division and do it this way. It still works for me, but they try, they really reinforce that students' brains are all different and not everybody learns the same. So they teach them ways to do math, but then they also honor the fact that people are getting to the correct answer in different ways. And that's one thing our teachers have really worked with the new math, that started K-5 I told you about before, our Eureka Squared math program. We've seen our scores are going up, and we believe that's because this is a real rigorous math program, and they do honor the way that different brains think about math. So that's been helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, you had asked a question earlier if we had something else. So we're back on the national stage again this month. Collaborative with Space Point here in Sandpoint. We have two teams that are going to Virginia, I think it is, for a national competition. They qualified. It's a mix of middle school and high school students.
Yep. And the only two teams that made it from Idaho.
Okay.
So the only two.
What are they competing for? What teams?
Rocketry. So they're projecting rockets what they have to do is they have to shoot it, I think, 790 feet up, and then they have to stay, they have to have it up there for like something like 40 seconds maybe. Then they have to bring raw eggs down. They have two raw eggs that are
and not break them.
And not break them, yes. And so they're judged on all of those different components. And so our two teams did well, and they qualified. And I think it's May 17th is when they're heading out. And if anybody wants to learn more about that, they can go to Space Point.
Sounds like
there.
Trajectory, fuel, and stability.
It sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Well, the eggs did the thing.
Do all the contestants use the same model of ship or a rocket, so it's you're on an even
no they have to design their own.
That's, oh, they design their
they
own.
Design their own, yes.
Oh, I see. Yep. Okay.
And there's a professor at U of I, and he has helped immensely. He did the landing of the rover on Mars. He was one of the ones that helped create that. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they had a lot of support. They have a collaboration with NASA now as well. Space Point has really put us on the map as far as in that realm.
Yeah, to become a new local group that's...
Yes, it's a couple of years now. Yeah. And I will tell you, for last year, was our first year of offering rocketry and astronomy at Sandpoint High School. And Kyle Averill, who runs Space Point, he and his wife have... helped teach that. He helped teach that class with Kyle Olmsted, who is one of our teachers. And so they got it off and going. They have an observatory at SOAC, which is the Sandpoint Organic Agricultural Center for the U of I out there, that field campus. They have an observatory out there. And they had a, you know, groundbreaking and open for that. So we are continuing to offer rocketry at Sandpoint High School. Next year, Mike Martz will be teaching that. Kyle Olmsted is going to be doing our junior ROTC program, which we're starting next year. We talked about last time. Kyle is going to be helping us. He is in the military, retired, but keeps getting called out for deployments. Just went on another one, and we're lucky to have him. And he's going to transition to JROTC, and Mike Martz is going to take over the Rocketry and Space Point connection.
And the ROTC, the JRO, isn't that a kind of new program?
JROTC, it makes it a little easier.
Oh, okay. Is that fairly new? Did I remember right that it just sort of started?
It will be starting, yes. We had a lot of parent meetings and a lot of organizational meetings, and everything went very smoothly with that. And so, yes, in the fall, they'll be starting that program with maybe 70
lots of interest. Yeah, yes, lots tons of interest.
And it's going to fall under the CT umbrella
event. Yep. We are going to get that designated as a CTE course, and so that the students can have CTE experience, also hands-on. It fits right in there. So we've applied for that. We're hoping that comes through.
Mm-hmm. What else, Darren?
Well, I just had one more thing for now to talk about was our Unified Champions Field Day, which is going to be May 21st, and we have Sandpoint High School, Sandpoint Middle School, and they're also inviting Priest River and Bonners Ferry High Schools this year. I think that might be new, but I'm not certain about that. But they really want to push, you know, to let the community know about this, particularly because there's a lot of students that may need resources that, you know, we're maybe not aware of. So on that event day, they're going to have a lot of those resources available at the event. So they'll have different type of local businesses, and people who support that community will be there on that day.
And it's called the Unified Champions Field Day.
Used to be Special Olympics.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But now they've changed the name nationally.
I see. Okay.
Absolutely. So just wanted to remind you about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what date is that?
It is May 21st.
At the War Memorial Field?
Yes. And at the high school, I was told that the whole school is going to come out and celebrate as the buses leave, and they're all going to cheer them on before they head over to the field. Yeah,
make for
a good video.
See, I didn't know that. Great. That's wonderful.
That's why you come on the radio. You learn these things. So we're not talking about sports very much here, but anything you want to mention and how the teams have done it? Got a new basketball coach coming at Sandpoint
High. Yes, Dr. Will Love. Yeah. And then Maddie Schoening will be, and I was her principal when she was the girls' Bulldogs. Of course, my two oldest daughters were on that. And then she was on the basketball team and track.
She was a standout.
Very big standout. Yeah. A wonderful. She's actually teaching fifth grade at Washington Elementary now.
So she's going to coach the girls now.
And she is going to be the head girls coach. So I'm super excited about that. I know her. And then super excited about Dr. Will Love is going to be the boys coach. He's done a lot of years and had a great success with the girls.
He's brought the only basketball championship to Sandpoint High and the girls program ever for either program. Yes. Yeah. So, it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
And Dr. Will Love is also a KRFY broadcaster, just to throw that out there.
On Fridays for the News of the Week, he comes in and contributes there.
Anything we should know
about? I did hire him, so and I work with his mom, so I feel blessed that they're a great family.
Yeah, of course, his mom, Marianne, was a teacher for 30-plus years.
Yeah, a zillion years, and really an acclaimed author as well, so she's... wonderful.
You were lucky if you had her for an English teacher. What about open enrollment? Anything we should know about that or enrollment in general?
Well, I know Hugh had asked about how is House Bill 93 going to affect our district. House Bill 93 was the tax credit law where families who either have their own private education, they may be able to get a tax credit. The legislatures did push it back to January of this year, so they would be able to claim it on their 2025 tax credit. There is still some real logistics to work out. Attorneys behind the scenes down at the state, we've been in the loop on that, are still trying to work out how that will look so that if families are doing a different route to education, not using public education, how do they make sure they're not double dipping? So that's all things the attorneys are working out behind the scenes. That I don't suppose myself, I don't think that that's going to be a huge influence on our district. We have lots of options for education in our area. And I feel like families already have an area where they, like either they're going to a private school or they have their own homeschooling or they have their own program. We do have the Homeschool Academy. We have a lot of families. We have a waiting list for that program. That's a part-time supplemental program. So they do their own core instruction at their house. And then they have this part-time where they have theater and they have music and they have art and they have some skiing that they do and they have some hiking they do. And they have just a lot of information that they put out to the families to be able to socialize and have this, enrichment that they do with their students. So I think we have a pretty great base already of families that have their own educational avenue they've chosen. I don't think it's going to decrease our enrollment in the Lake Pend Oreille School District.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we're on this subject, so on the federal level, there's obviously a lot of stuff going on, but one of the proposals is to eliminate the Department of Education. How would that affect a local district?
They've already done an executive order to eliminate it, so it's pretty much already started down that path. As far as funding, that's where the question comes into play. I will tell you that our state superintendent of Idaho, Debbie Critchfield, did sign on with 16 other Republican states saying that they agree and they approve of the dismantling of the Department of Education if the funds are sent to the states so that we can disseminate them based on what's best for our state. So she does believe in local control and us getting those funds. Where we really hear in our school district, not North Idaho, we have the students with disability, the special education funding, it's based on that Fed money. We have the child nutrition program, so free and reduced rate, the families that maybe count on that. And we have Title I funding, and there's a few other title programs, the McKinney-Vento, which is our homeless. We have ELL, English language learners. This funding does come from the federal government. It's about 2% of our budget, although it's still a lot, but it is 2% of our budget, so it's not like it's the majority, but it would be very detrimental to our school district if that funding was completely cut out. If you have students that you know that are in the special education program, we call it SEC, Services for Exceptional Children. That's in our district what we call that department. Title I helps with reading and with math at primary levels. And the child nutrition is really important, as you know. Food for our children, constantly is helping our families with the food for the mm-hmm. weekend programs and snacks every day for families that can't afford snacks. So we do have a need in our community that needs to be filled by this chunk of money.
Mm-hmm. So we're actually just kind of wait and see mm-hmm. that those funds are going to yeah. be maintained.
Are there any enrollment dates that our listeners should know about?
Just encouraging our families who are returning to get to our website and make sure that they get registered for the next school year. We're just continually trying to encourage them. It really helps us out as we plan for next year.
So, and new folks moving to the area with students?
Absolutely,
same
yes.
thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there some... programs that you want to be enrolled for early because you won't be able to sign your kid up?
No, not necessarily. There was, by state law, there was a date of February 1st that we had for open enrollment, and the legislators made that date. We're not sure why it's February 1st, but it was. We still take applications, and we still will continue to take open enrollment applications from anywhere outside of our district or in the district if families want to be in a different school within our district.
But there's got to be a limit though, right? I mean,
yes, we have limits. And so it depending on the size of the classroom, and we have exemplar numbers that we try to stick to and adhere to. And then the school overall only has so much physical capacity.
Right. So yes. Parents plan ahead.
Yeah. And this would be a great time for us to also tell you, we've talked about it before on here, but just to remind folks that our Sandpoint Middle School project, that is possible. It's going to be, they're still in the design phase. They've been doing a lot of community, parent, and staff input into that design. This design build will be starting going into this next school year. That they'll have community meetings, show some layouts of what the initial first blush is of these different plans. And then they will be breaking ground as soon as this next school year is over. So in June of 2026, they'll be breaking ground. The project is estimated to be a 2 year, so that they'll go into it in fall of 2028. They'll be ready to go and move in. And that's really based, that funding is coming from House Bill 521, which was passed, not this session, but mm-hmm. the session before in the year. And the first time ever.
Governor Little's big infusion of money to education,
through the selling of their bonds and such at the state level. And so we were one of the very first, I know I keep reiterating, our district seems to be on the cutting edge mm-hmm. for a lot. And we were one of the first districts to turn in our board-approved 10-year facility plan. I've done several community meetings and presentations about this, coffee clutches Darren set up, different things to get feedback and share this with the community. But I do encourage you to go on our website if you're interested in looking at what was the 10-year plan for our facility for the district, what's the plan, and the board approved that. That's on our website. And I certainly would be happy to talk to folks about that if you ever want me to come talk to one of your community organizations or your, neighborhood group, anything, mm-hmm. I'm happy to come speak. Just reach out to me at the school district, and I'd love to share more about that.
Real quickly, though, the middle school includes some new construction, but also revamping the buildings. Yeah,
yeah, and just to put it in perspective, I think it's always easy. It's an $18.2 million project. It's easy to say, oh, that's great. That's so much money. But for that size of square foot and that amount of students that we have, just over 500, which is 7th and 8th grade, we would love to add 6th grade, but we can't afford it this time with that funds. We would have to go back out to the voters, which we're not doing at this time, to ask for funds. But we are, the blueprints, they're making. The finalized ones do have 10 additional classrooms that could be added on for 6th grade if in which such time that the community, we need to move 6th grade to the mm-hmm. middle school. But just for comparison, so you know, to show you a realistic view, if we were to build that size of a middle school, it would be $50 million. Mm-hmm. And now that's even not, like, we'd have to go out, I don't know, with the tariffs and other things going on, if it would be even more, I'm not sure. But that was when we started doing the long-range facility planning committee. That was about a year ago, so I probably have gone up even since that. But mm-hmm. just for mm-hmm. comparison, we are doing a major renovation and remodel, but it's not a brand new building because of that.
Mm-hmm. A lot to cover. You guys are doing an amazing job. It has so much dimension and faculty to it that, all I can say is amazing.
Thank you.
But so Anything else you'd like to add? We have about 5 minutes.
Just, I wanted to see what you might have some comments on our CHAFE 150 that's coming up. And, you know, I know that's a big fundraiser with Rotary. But so I'm training for it. So, you know, I've got to get my mileage up. I do long distance cycling. So
the full 150, Darren?
I don't think I'm going to. I started a little late in the spring, so I'm probably going to be more like the 80 miles. But I've got to get up to 80 miles, which I hope to do by the end of the month. But I know it's a big deal here in this community and a lot of participation. So
I want to, of course, thank the Rotary. I'm on the Rotary also, but the Rotary has done an amazing job of supporting the school district. They, when I first came back after I left and came back, you know, I was here for 23 years, left for six, back again. This is my third year back. They were funding the Book Trust, which has just been a wonderful, just a phenomenal program for kids to be able to put hands. You know, kids, books in the hands of kids is just wonderful to take home. That has transitioned into now they are funding and doing the CHAFE 150. Their fundraising effort is going towards this Every Student Graduates a Reader. Mm-hmm. And we have phenomenal data to show this is really important. Every student, every day, which I told you is our mission. If you want to see this in action, you look at our Every Student Graduates a Reader initiative and the scores of students, red flagging students, so that we can connect with them, work with them individually to get them up to reading level by the time they graduate. It's just absolutely phenomenal. We've done several presentations at the board about that. Also want to just one quick shout out also to the Rotary. Their golf tournament in August is all about CTE, and they are donating that information. All that money is going towards our CTE. I'm going to go speak at the golf tournament. That committee of the Rotary and the golf tournament is supporting CTE and the sports management, rehabilitation services, and that health field. They're really supporting.
And the Panhandle Alliance for Education has their gala coming up in July.
Yep.
And you could probably get a ticket to that. It does sell out, but it's an opportunity to support the schools through what
PAFE
does.
We take a full hour listing off everything they support, but they are really supporting our campus security officer program and helping with the One Trusted Adult program, as well as they're helping with some behavior support, positive behavior support.
And have the Ready for Kindergarten program.
Yep. It's a perfect example of it takes a community, village, whatever, to support the most important part of our community, our children. So good job.
Thank you.
And to all the organizations, CHAFE, their golf tournament, I'm sure that brings in some significant funding. And it's vital. Yeah. So.
Yes, thank you to all of our community partners, all of the foundations that help us, parents who are partnering with us, but especially this week, thank our teachers and our instructional staff that works with the students every single day to make sure that they're learning and growing. And we just owe a debt of gratitude to everything these teachers do.
It's not a job. It's a vocation.
Yes.
So thank you for all you do, and thanks for coming in today. Any last words of wisdom?
Just thank you for inviting us again, and looking forward to the next time. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe the next time we'll dive in on ISAT scores, maybe. Huh?
I love it.
And talk about that and see, and it gives us a good measure of student performance.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we've been speaking with Lake Ponderay School District Superintendent Dr. Becky Myers and Community Relations Liaison Darren Svahn from the Lake Ponderay School District. And if you didn't get to hear the whole interview, you can tune in. You can go to our website. It will be a podcast up on the website.